Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, do you know how much energy your kettle uses every time you make a cup of tea? Or is your air fryer more energy efficient than your oven? Well, next week, the government is going to be sending out leaflets to every household giving advice and tips on how to reduce energy use while still staying warm and well. This information has been collated by Professor Aoife Foley, Energy Systems Engineer at Queen's University Belfast, and she joins us now. And if you have any specific questions for Aoife, you can text us, of course, to 51551 and we'll try to put them to her if we can. You're very welcome, Aoife, to the programme this evening. We might start with air fryers because they're very popular, aren't they? Or they're becoming more and more popular every time I talk to somebody, they're talking about getting one. Are they more efficient than an oven?
Well, I suppose it depends on what you're cooking. If you're throwing on 5 or 6 or 10 chicken nuggets for your kids when they come in from school, yeah, they're much more energy efficient than turning on an oven for 35 minutes because an oven, or it depends on whether you have a convection oven or a conventional oven. If you have a conventional oven, it would be the least energy efficient and cost you the most to run. But if you were cooking a turkey or a ham or something like that, then the air fryer, it depends on its size and how long you're going to have it on. But a convection oven then would be probably more energy efficient and save you more money. So you just need to think about what you're cooking. And I think that's why people are buying the air fryers, because they're so handy to use for small batch cooking.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you then. If you're really trying to save energy, and I think a lot of us, or most of us indeed, are trying to save energy this winter, and particularly then maybe if you've small kids, or if you're cooking the types of foods that you're talking about there, chicken nuggets, I don't really know what else you can cook in an air fryer. But are they worth an investment, do you think? Would you get your investment paid back over a couple of years in using the air fryer over the oven?
I think you would, because if you're frying or grilling a few sausages, you could stick them into the air fryer and they're done in a few minutes. So and you're getting them browned. Whereas some if you look at a microwave, some people cook sausages and things like that in a microwave, but they're not browned. So it's really your taste. I know they do. You know, some people cook eggs and
don't
everything.
Don't say that.
You'd be surprised
what
people cook in a microwave.
No. Well, actually, speaking of microwaves, then they can also be very useful for let's forget you mentioned cooking sausages in a microwave. Let's just banish that from our minds for the moment. But reheating soup, that's a good one, rather than maybe putting the pot on the hob.
It is. Say now, if you were warming a big pot of soup, okay, so you had made a big pot of soup and you were having 5 or 6 people over, then if you had an induction hob, yeah, that's really cheap to use. But if you pre-made your soup and you had it in a microwavable container, it actually probably would be faster to heat it in the microwave.
Okay, and then more energy efficient. Is that the general rule of thumb here, Aoife? We'll talk through some other examples, but is it really, if it's short, the shorter the time, the less energy you're using generally? Could you apply
generally,
that?
Generally, except for, say, devices now where it's your electric shower, your big electric cooker, your immersion heater, your tumble dryer. So, you know, those types of large, anything that creates a lot of heat, they tend to be on for a little bit longer. And you must remember, it's using some sort of element to heat, to create the heat.
Okay.
So they tend to be more energy intensive. And then obviously because you have them on longer, they cost you more.
Well, dryers, we're all talking about those at the moment because obviously it's harder to dry your clothes outside now given the weather. Mm-hmm. But dryers are known to be very hard on energy. How hard are they on energy? How much do they cost you per year on average?
Well, like obviously now, there's no such thing as an average Irish family at the moment,
sure, okay,
and with weather and climate change, you know. But, you know, it could range up to, if you were using it twice a week and there's 52 weeks in the year and you left it on for about an hour and a half, you could be talking about 150, 300 euros over a whole year.
Okay.
85 cent an hour for a tumble dryer.
85 cent an hour. So that's a good way of thinking of it. You should be putting your clothes out even for 2 or 3 hours just to get the heavy wet out of them if you can at all.
Well, if you can at all, but you see, some people have young children and they need to get clothes drier quickly. Some people live in flats and apartments and they have no place to hang out their clothes. So it depends on your own access. But, you know, if you can hang some of your clothes up in your bathroom, if you want to dry them that way in the evening, if you're living in a smaller apartment or a smaller flat, if you obviously have a shed or you have a garage, stick your clothes horse into your shed or your garage.
Okay. You know? Okay. And that will also help, obviously, with the damp
that will
in the
help
air.
You. That will help you keep. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's away from people breathing. You'd want your children and your family or elderly people to be breathing in damp air.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
Because you can leave the window open in your bathroom.
Yeah, yeah, lots of questions coming in to 51551 on this. Gabriel has a good one, actually, that applies to all of us, really. He's wondering, how much to leave lights or lamps on, and also Christmas lights.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah, I know. Now I'd be like the Grinch. I tell you now, okay, look, rule of thumb is you don't need to be lit up as if, you know, a plane is landing. What's that film where they've all the Christmas lights? Home Alone, is it? You know, you don't need to burn all those lights. You know, just think of your bill. You know, in terms of lamps, most lamps now, if you have an LED, to have an LED light on for 7 hours, it's 9 cents. I wouldn't be scrimping on switching off all your lights around your house so that you fall down the stairs and break your neck.
God, that really
puts over
the,
if you're an elderly person.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So that really puts the dryer in context, doesn't it, when you say that?
It does,
what do you
it?
Say? 75 cent an hour for a dryer, 9 cent for...
75 cent, 85 cent an hour for a tumble dryer, 9 cent for 7 hours for LED lighting.
Right, okay, okay. So that you can really take a lot of the heavy lifting out of it if you can manage the dryer.
You know, even if you have, you know, off-peak and peak electricity and you have a smart meter in your home, please, you know, try to avoid putting on, I know some people will say it's highly unlikely it's going to go on fire, but it's those appliances that create heat, because you will have a flint built up inside in the tumble dryer. And if you turn it on at night and you haven't cleaned the filter, you have a fire hazard. So try, if you're using any of those appliances off peak, out of hours, you know, just get it done before you go to bed, or get it done when you're in the house. Don't put them on and then go out of the house.
And is it possible with the off-peak hours? Sorry, I think I've looked at these off-peak hours. I thought they were basically the middle of the night.
It depends. In some low, it's really the peak hours are between 5 and 7. Now, Airgrid have sort of extended that, and they basically said it's from 4 to 7.
Right,
we sort of have a peak then in Ireland. If you look at our electricity demand over the day, we typically have a peak in the winter. We call it a winter peak between 12:30 and say 2:15, 2:30. And then in the morning, we have our morning peak between about maybe 6:45. That's when it really starts to happen, until about maybe 9:30, 9:15, 9:20.
Okay. Anthony has noted, and I agree with Anthony, that anyone cooking sausages in a microwave deserves jail. You know, Anthony, I just don't even think that's too extreme. Another person is saying, should you leave the boiler on for the duration or have it on for 15, off for 15?
No. Really. No.
Go on.
No. No, don't do that. Because what it is whether it's gas central heating or oil central heating, what it's trying to do is it's trying to regulate up to the temperature that you've set in your home. Okay. So a lot of people, what they tended to do, and I've often visited friends where their kids or themselves are, you know, you go to a group, like, I mean, I lived in Dublin for years, you know, and, you know, you like, I had two guys from Kilkenny, nothing against Kilkenny people, but they used to be around the house in the shorts and T-shirts. And I remember I came home one weekend and I walked in the door in the middle of the winter to a wave of heat. It was tropical inside in the house.
Yeah.
And they the thermostat set up to about 26, 27 degrees Celsius. You know, set your thermostat at about 19 degrees Celsius. That's a good temperature. It'll get up to that temperature. And what happens then is it tapers off in producing the heat and pumping your water around the home. And what it does is it tries and maintains it then at that temperature to send it around the home.
Okay.
And so it's not burning all that amount of fuel in the boiler.
So don't be turning it on and off, basically.
No, don't, because what it's trying to do is it's trying to get up to 21, or it's trying to get up to 19, and then you're dropping it off, ramping it up. That's not, no.
Right, okay.
Turn it on, leave it on for about an hour, okay? And what you should do is everybody should try and service their boiler once a year at least.
Yes.
And they should also bleed their radiators.
God, you're just
after
reminding me now. Job I have to do, it's on my list. Go on,
So bleed your radiators. You can actually buy, so somebody said to me, what's the radiator key? And I said, go into Woody's, tip somebody on the shoulder and say, can I have a radiator key? I actually just checked before I came on. They're $4.99. It's a little square key. There's two types. There's your regular brass, but they can be steel as well, radiator key. And the vent, or the actual, it fits into a square slot, typically on the opposite side to the valve. And
so we should all be doing that, is it? Every year?
What you should do is every year you should go around your home and you turn on your heating first for about an hour, leave it on for an hour, go around and check all your radiators. If there's any cold spots on the radiators, then you've air lock in your system. Wherever that, it tends to sort of come out in a radiator, either at the bottom or the top. And if you have released the air and you still have a problem, that means you might have some sludge built up in your radiators. And then you need to talk to your plumber. Okay. Personally, no, I've seen people doing it. I wouldn't do it myself. I would get a plumber to do it for me. What happens is their mineralization inside in the pipes and the radiator occurs and you build up a bit of dirt. So when you actually go to clean out the radiator, you will see the liquid that comes out the side of it once the air was released. Okay. When you use the key, it's blackish.
Aoife, listen, I think we're going to have you back on because I've got loads and loads of questions coming in here about kettles and electric blankets and leaving the fridge open and vampire devices.
Be careful with electric blankets.
Okay. Well, that's a bit ominous, but okay. Be careful with electric blankets, and we won't mention the word immersion. Michael on the 67 bus has texted to say, "Don't mention the I word." We won't even. We don't have time to mention the immersion, Michael. That's a whole other conversation.
Sink or bath. Check if you have it on the sink. If you're using an electric shower, then you shouldn't have it on the bath. All you're doing is wasting the water.
Okay.
Set the temperature to between 55 and 60. You don't need it set up at 70 or 80 for your immerser.
Immersion heating,
because all you're doing is you're mixing it with cold water. So you're paying to heat and then you're cooling it.
Aoife, I have to go. I can see you're bursting with information on energy first. We'll have to have you back. And thank you so much for joining us. That's Professor Aoife Foley, Energy Systems Engineer at Queen's University Belfast. And indeed, we'll get all our questions together and put them to Aoife at another occasion. Thank you, Aoife.